your Bible with me to chapter 2 of verse 8 of Revelation. Chapter 2, verse 8. Okay. Through almost 2,000 years, there are people or group of people who tried to destroy the Christianity, and they did their best. Diocletian, he's one of the Roman emperors, he tried to destroy the Christianity, and he erected this particular stone pillar, and inscribed on the pillar says, "For having exterminated the name of a Christian from the earth." During that time, many people died. I'm going to talk about that a little later. Wonder how that emperor Diocletian is feel about trying to vanish the Christianity from the earth. We are still here, and he's dead. And Christianity has been persecuted many times, and by the communist, Hitler, and Muslim and Hindu fanatics. They're still doing that kind of thing. And as a matter of fact, they drag the Christian people from their village out to their killing field and kill them or mutilate them. Average 100,000 people every year around the world, they are persecuted or being killed. This 20th century, there are more people being persecuted as a Christian than all the years combined, last 1900 years. So persecution is very much going on and very much still in. There is one Roman authority leader, he said he made the coffin, and he said that he will bury the Galilean, which means Jesus. And he was going to do that, he couldn't succeed, and he ended up becoming a Christian. The reason why they couldn't do it is because the gate of hell, Jesus said, the gate of hell now prevail. Because Jesus made it, and it's staying alive. Under the name of the separation of church and the state, in America, they are doing just fine. With the liberal media and the Supreme Court's decision, more and more decisions made against Christianity. Now, when you think about it, they are doing a fine job. They are trying to eliminate the name of Christ from the holidays and the society and history and education in general. And they're wondering why the society is going haywire, because we're eliminating God. In San Francisco, some of you guys know that city quite well. San Francisco, it is a city ordinance, city law, that they are not allowing any more Christian churches available in that city. They are not giving permission. And not only that, all the civic affairs, public events must be held during the 9 and 12 o'clock Sunday morning. So if you like any particular events, you want to participate, that means you have to skip the church. They purposely made it that way so they can be in the way of the Christian movement. Wrong is encouraged and right is ridiculed. That's happening in America. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what I was to learn about our candidate. John Kerry agreed with abortion. He agreed with liberal concept. And he agreed with homosexuality. If you want him to be the president, you don't have to do anything. Just don't vote. If you don't want him to be in the presidency, you must vote against him. You might say, how can you say that you're a nonprofit organization? So what? What if we will lose that nonprofit organization, but I have to speak the truth. If you are willing to take that risk, go for it. I was told that John Kerry is more liberal than Ted Kennedy and Hillary Clinton. That scares me. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that we are about to receive. Let us learn from this church of Smyrna, that persecuted church, yet they stood firm. We are asking us to teach us that we may learn from this church and do the same thing for the glory of God. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 8. And to the angels of the church in Smyrna write that these things they say, the first and the last, that we were who was dead and come to life. Smyrna was, I was told that it was a beautiful city, and it's on the, located in the west coast, western coast of the Asia Minor, about 40 miles north of Ephesus, and it is known as the glory of Asia. It was center of the culture, center of the learning center, and a great trade city known for the wine at that time. And Smyrna is like Ephesus, a city of trade and city of wealth, a city of commercial greatness. This city also very much committed as emperor worship. In 196 BC, they built this temple for Roma. That's a temple that is the goddess of Rome. Once they set up this temple in their city and introduced their worship of this Roma, the goddess of Rome, it's not that difficult for them to link that thing to the emperor worship. And the emperor worship, of course, directly connect with the alliance with Rome and civic pride. Smyrna become the leading city for the emperor worship. And all they have to do, what they demand the people of the Smyrna to do is just put the pinch of incense into the altar and burn that incense and declare that emperor, that Caesar is God. All the Christians have to do is just do that, and they can go their way and serve their own God. However, Christians, the congregation of the church of the Smyrna, would not do that. Why? Because there is only one name who should be called as God. That's not Caesar, that's Jesus Christ. So they wouldn't do that. That means persecution is ahead. This emperor worship is so much there, and all the job market is connected with this emperor worship. When they deny the deity of the emperor, and they are facing persecution. Because of that, our Christian brothers and sisters in the Church of Smyrna was facing utter poverty, abject poverty. Let's go to the verse 9. I know your works of tribulation, poverty, but you are rich. And I know, underline I know, please, the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are synagogue of Satan. As I said, these people, these dear brothers and sisters in Smyrna, are having a hard time. Why? Because they are being persecuted and they cannot find a place to find a job or getting money for their family. And this word, poverty, when you look at it in the Greek word, they're possessing absolutely nothing. In our term, they're dirt poor. In God's eyes, they were rich. Our estimation of ourselves is far less important than the God's estimation of ourselves. Material rich can be, listen carefully, please, material rich can be obstacle to the kingdom of God. Trying to gain the rich, trying to maintain that rich, costs something. What? Costs what? Our spiritual condition. Sometimes we bog down to the trying to gain money, earn extra income. We tend to sacrifice our spiritual condition. You know what I'm talking about. Get up early in the morning, go to work, and try to make extra money. And we spend the time watching how money going up and down in the money market or the stock market or bond market. And we think about that thing more than our devotion with Christ Jesus. We spend more time on the stock market news than the Bible and the prayer. So naturally, one comes in, one has to go out. At what cost? We have to think about it. Nothing wrong with having money. I'm not against the stock market. I'm not against the money market. I'm not against any of those things. But if that gets in the way between us and God, guess what becomes our God? The money. In Matthew, we find where your treasure is, where your heart is also. So if you, only thing you can think about is how you can make more money, and that's where your emphasis, and that's where that's where you put your heart is. So it is important for us to put our heart and put our priority in God, not in the money. Nothing wrong with having money, but when the money has us, that's the problem. Another thing that I ask you on the line is, I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews. Now, this blasphemy, I have to talk to you about this. Blaspheming, when we hear the blaspheming God and we think about the using God's name in vain, yes, that's a part of it. Another big portion is using God's name, but we don't do what we are supposed to do. That's a big portion. Listen carefully, please. However, I'm going to deal with the first portion. If you are using, I'm not going to ask you to raise your name. Most likely you won't, so I'm not going to do that. If you are using God's name in vain in any manner, you know the words. I'm not going to say it. If you're using that and you call yourself Christian, think about it. Is it right for you to say, I serve God, I love God, but yet you're using God's name in vain? Is that the right thing for you to do? No, it's not. And some people don't think twice about it. In the last 17 years in my Christian walk, I've known very dear Christian brothers and sisters. And they use God's name in vain without thinking twice about it. One time I heard that in public speech. And this guy standing behind the podium, he just used that word. It made me just crawl. There's no use for it. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, please. Keep your finger right there in Revelation. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. Galatians is right behind the Philippians. But now you yourself are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Isn't that clear? Do not use, ladies and gentlemen, please listen carefully. Do not use God's name in vain. If you must use somebody's name in vain, if you must cuss at somebody, use somebody, the name such as Satan, or Muhammad, or Buddha, somebody else, if you have to. Or use Bill Clinton, or John Kerry, whoever. What makes these smallest Christians so dedicated? They were not looking at the things that are seen. These kinds of things, the things around us. But they are looking at the things not seen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but of the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things that which are not seen are eternal. Let's go to the verse 10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have a tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death. I will give you the crown of life. Underline crown of life, please. You guys have this little blue half sheet size. It said Brunei. Is what we do is adopting a nation, one nation a month. We pray for this nation every day for a month. They are being persecuted. A lot of Muslim countries. And our brothers and sisters in this country are persecuted. Not only the Smyrna, not only the other churches that we see in the Bible, these are churches that are very much persecuted current time. Please pray for them. These people in Smyrna, they were standing up right, standing firm in God, and so there's no one word of accusation from Jesus Christ, no word of rebuke. However, we find out that there is something we need to take a look at. I ask you to underline, I didn't ask you to underline. Oh, yeah, I asked you to underline the crown of life. Last study we did is for the Church of Ephesus. He promised the tree. He will give them a tree to eat from. Think with me. Let's go back to Genesis. In Genesis, there was a tree in the Garden of Eden called the Tree of Knowledge of Good and Evil. And God told them not to eat the fruit from that tree. By disobeying God, mankind fell from the perfect setting of Garden of Eden and to the earth and to this situation, and we all become following the ramification of their disobedience. However, there was another tree came into the picture 2,000 years ago. It became a tree of life for all of us. The man called Jesus, man God, they hung him on the tree that he become a bridge to give us eternal life, to give us salvation in Christ Jesus. Now in Revelation chapter 22, we find that there is another tree that is bearing the fruit and 12 different kinds of fruit and giving us and healing the nation. So tree from the tree of knowledge of good and evil that mankind become a disobedient, and tree of life on the cross on the Golgotha Hill, Jesus made a bridge so that we can have a tree of life that giving the fruit of healing. Now we find here is the crown of life. This crown is a rather important crown. There's a two different kinds of crown. One is a diadem, the other one is a stephanos in Greek word. Diadem is the royalty crown the kings would wear. And the Stephanos that mentioned here, the crown of life, is I'm sure you've seen the old Olympic movies, and you will see the wreath you wear, that those people wear. That's the crown he's talking about, Stephanos. The leaves will perish. As we read in 2 Corinthians, we are going for the crown that will not perish. Some Christians living in this world think that health and wealth is so important, and that's the best thing going for being a Christian. From what I read, from what I learned from the Bible, that's not the only thing. That can be good things. I'm not against the health and wealth. However, the most important thing as a Christian is being like Jesus. We may go through a difficult time. We may go through the sick time. We may go through poverty time. But being like Jesus is more important than being healthy, being wealthy. I'd rather go through being persecuted being sick, being poor, or being killed, even being killed. I'd rather be like more like a Jesus Christ than being healthy and wealthy. I said this before, but it's worth repeating. If we take our children to the grocery store and they want this, they want that, if you notice all the candies are at their eye level, where they can see, all the candies right there at the check counter where they can yell at their mommy. So they ask for this and they ask for that. If you give them everything they ask for, what will happen to them? Their nutrition will go whack. And they'll fly around the wall because they all sugar high up. And problem with that is it's not good for them. So we tell them no. That's what our Heavenly Father is like. If we get everything what we want all the time, we become immature, malnutritioned Christian. That's why sometimes God says no. Instead of arguing with God, you should say, okay, what do you want me to get? What do you want me to learn? How can I be more like Jesus Christ? These people in the Smyrna, that's what they're looking for. They would not trade their comfort with having some other God in their lives. So they stuck by it. And they're being persecuted. I think we should learn a lot of things from them. Jesus told them, be faithful until to death. He didn't say, okay, I'll bail you guys out. Instead of that, he said, even to death, stay at it. It is important for us to understand that what God is telling us. It's not easy. Christian life is anything but easy. Only thing that is easy, as I said before, is His yoke. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. 9:25. This is rather infamous verse. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it, obtain the perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. That's Stephanus. Let's go back to the Revelation chapter 2, verse 11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That he who overcome shall not be hurt by the second death. What do they overcome? Those who overcome the persecution, the threat of persecution, will not face the second death. What does it mean? What is the second death? Ladies and gentlemen, all of us have a soul. Our soul will have one destination, either heaven or hell. By our own choice, not by God's choice, not by our good behavior, but by our choice, whether we accept Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior or not, we will choose to go to heaven or go to hell. If we choose to go to heaven by accepting Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, we will see Him, we will know Him, we will feel Him every moment. If we choose to reject Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, and reject Him, and we choose to go to hell, then when we go to hell, we will feel the pain, we will know the isolation from God, utter isolation. There won't be a big beer bashing party in hell. There won't be a Budweiser, there won't be a Coors truck out there. It will be pure hell. That means utter isolation, that means complete agony. From the moment you go there to eternal life. We all fan wild in this weather. It's hot. In Sarita, it's somewhere 105, 103. If you think this is hot, I don't think we know the heat of hell. Am I trying to scare the hell out of you? Yes, I'm trying. If you think this is hard, you haven't seen the heat of hell. Now, listen, please. While somebody is there, somebody chooses to deny that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior and will end up in hell, they will feel the pain, they will be burned, but they will not die. They will feel agony. So it is our choice. And they chose to hear and chose Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They didn't choose Jesus as their Lord. I must talk about this Polycarp. He is the pastor of this Smyrna church. And Polycarp is the last one who was personally discipled by Apostle John. Year after he came back from the Rome, there was a persecution against Christianity in Smyrna was accelerating. So people told him to leave the town. When he left and at night he had a vision, his pillow was engulfed in a flame. And after he woke up, he told his companion that, I know that God is telling me that I will be burned at stake. And he got arrested promptly. And Roman authority demanded him to deny the Jesus Christ, denounce his faith in Christ Jesus. And this is what he said. How can I deny him who has been faithful to me for 86 years? And the Roman authority gave up, and they pronounced him that he's a Christian, so he should be executed. They were trying to throw him into the lion, but their lion is already in the cage. So they decide to pile up the wood and burn him to death. So they pile up the great pile of wood and put him in the middle. And while they're doing that, he prayed this prayer, recorded, I thank you that you have graciously thought me worthy of this day and of this hour, that I may receive the portion of the number of martyrs in the cup of your Christ. When he finished the prayer, they light up the fire on the pile. Great gulf of fire surrounded him, but the fire is not reaching to him. God put the hedge of protection around this man. And in frustration and in rage, one of the executioners picked up his long spear and stabbed him. And a gush of blood came out from his body. And almost like it was extinguishing the flame. And the bystander saw the dove flying off from him. I'm sure it was a symbol. And the Holy Spirit symbol, and leaving him and to the heaven. And his assistant was told by God, Polycarp is dead. God took him home. As I said before, this kind of murder is still happening. About 100,000 people is being persecuted and being killed every year in current days. If God is require you do, stand up for him even to death, are you willing? It's easy for us to say yes in the middle of the congregation. However, it's not easy to say it when the real gun barrel is sticking in our face. Let's make a couple of applications. Number one. We may be in the place to die martyr's death. We may never be in the place to die in martyr's death, but we can all live in martyr's life. I will repeat it one more time. We may never be in the place to die a martyr's death, but we can all live in martyr's life. Many Christians will do anything to avoid the persecution. Sometimes God allows the persecution to come to us, to purify us. I call it purified by the fire. Be ready. If I'm looking at this current political situation in America, persecution will be ahead of us. Second application, in our lifetime, we might face actual physical persecution against Christians in America. Are you ready? Are you ready to stand up for Jesus who stood up for you? Let's go to one more verse, Matthew chapter 10. I'm almost done. Before I started the teaching, somebody told me, make it quick. So I'm trying. Chapter 10, verse 28. Do not fear those who kill the body and cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. It costs to be a dedicated Christian. Some place takes more than others. Pressure will increase, persecution will also increase. Instead of being a poor Christian, we need to be rich in the sight of God by standing up for His name. Let's stand up and pray.